Welcome to Torati Machanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we study Melachim Beis, Perek Yud Beis, Chapter 12. Chapter 11 told us the dramatic story of the rescue of the last survivor of the House of David, little Yehoash, and the successful coup d'etat led by Yehoyada the Kohen Gadol that put him on the throne and got rid of the evil Ataliah. Our chapter tells us about this Yehoash and his reign. Verse 1 tells us little Yehoash was only 7 years old when he became king. And verse 2, Bishnas Sheva liYehu Malach Yehoash, Ba'arba'im Shana Malach Birushalayim, V'shem Imo Tzivya Mibe'er Shava. In the 7th year of Yehu, the king of Israel, that's when Yehoash started his rule, and he ruled for 40 years in Yerushalayim. His mother's name is Tzivya from Be'er Shava. What kind of a king? What kind of a person was this Yehoash? Pasuk Gimel verse 3 gives us a little clue. Vayas Yehoash hayashar b'enei Hashem kol yamav asher horahu Yehoyada hakohen. And Yehoash did what was right in the eyes of Hashem all his days, as long as Yehoyada the Kohen was teaching him. Here in Melachim Beis, that is all we are told about this, but Yehoash's life will be revisited in Divrei Hayamim. One failing that is pointed out here is in Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Rak habamos lo saru, od ha'am mizabchim umekatrim babamos. Except that the individual altars were not removed. The people were still sacrificing and burning incense on their individual altars. This was something that was forbidden, of course, once we had a Beis HaMikdash, but somehow still something that the people of Yehuda struggled with and will continue to struggle with. But in Pasuk Hey, verse 5, we will begin to read about a huge initiative that Yehoash spearheaded. The Beis HaMikdash was only 155 years old at this time and had been built very well. It should not have needed repairs. But one of the crimes of Ataliah was that she defaced and damaged the Beis HaMikdash. And Yehoash has such a special and unique relationship with this holy building that saved his life and kept him safe for the first 6 years of his life. And so in verse 5, Pasuk Hey, Vayomer Yehoash el HaKohanim, Kol Kesef HaKadashim Asher Yuva Beis Hashem, Kesef Over Ish, Kesef Nafshos Erchol, Kol Kesef Asher Ya'ale Alev Ish Lahavi Beis Hashem. Yehoash said to the Kohanim, all the sacred money that is brought to the Beis HaMikdash of Hashem, the half shekel given by every male over 20, and donations representing the value of one's age, all monies that a person's heart inspires him to bring to the Beis HaMikdash of Hashem, verse 6, Yikchu lahem hakohanim ish me'eis makaro, v'heim ichazku es bedek habayis, l'chol asher yimatzei sham bedek. Let them take the money for themselves, the Kohanim, each one from his friends, and they will support the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash wherever the need for restoration is found. There are three kinds of donations spoken about here. The Kesef Over, that's the yearly half-shekel donation. Then, the specific donations of Arachim, when a person donates his own monetary worth, or any voluntary donations, Nedavos. So anytime any individual donates any of these three kinds of donations to a Kohen, use this for Bedek Habayis, renovations, restoration, and upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. The Malbim asks, wait, the annual half shekel drive was meant to go for Karbanot Tzibor, for communal sacrifices. If all the half shekels will go for repairs, how would they have money for these? And he answers that during the 6 year reign of Ataliah, she had spread so much idol worship that people had stopped paying. And now, as part of their teshuvah process, they gave the money that they had neglected to contribute the last 6 years. And so between the new money and the old money, there was enough for both needs. We see more deeply into the intensity of his passion and desire in verse 7 and 8. This is already in his 23rd year, and Yehoash is not satisfied with the pace of the renovations and restorations. He was disappointed with the work of the Kohanim, and in verse 8, Vayikra HaMelech Yehoash LeHoyada HaKohen VeLaKohanim VaYomer Alehem Madua Enchem Mechazkim Es Bet HaKabayis VaAta Al Tikchu Kesef Me'Es Makarechem Ki LeVedek HaBayis Titnuhu. King Yehoash summoned Yehoyada the Kohen and the other Kohanim and said to them, "Why are you not supporting the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash? And now, do not take the money from your friends for yourselves, but for the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash, you should give it over." He felt that the old system was not efficient enough. Radak explains that the Kohanim were saving up the money until they had a larger amount, and that was the delay. But Yehoash was not happy, and so he launched his new plan. No longer would the Kohanim be given the discretion of when and how much to contribute to these funds. From now on, the money would be given directly and immediately. No overhead costs, no delay. In verse 10, we see one of the earliest institutions of what has become known as the Pushka. Now a prominent feature in synagogues and homes, a box that was drilled into the wall right near the Mizbeach, where all the money that was donated was immediately placed. And in verse 11, whenever they saw that there was a lot of money in this box, the royal treasurer and the Kohen Gadol together would count the money. And they used this money for all renovations. Verses 12 and 13, for the wood, for the building, for the rocks, for the salary of the contractors. And verse 16 explains that they would not audit the money because the work was done with integrity. And Radak adds that this is what we must do as a community. We need to choose trustworthy advocates and community leaders and good people to lead fundraising and community initiatives so that we can trust them. This section of our parak, we see hope and building. It's so beautiful and a sign of health and peace and prosperity and goodness that Yehuda, working with their king and with their Kohanim, can be busy with campaigns focused on beautifying and strengthening our Beis HaMikdash. And then this section of our parak concludes, and sadly we read in verse 18, Az Ya'aleh Chazael Melech Aram Vayilachem Algas Vayilkeda Vayasem Chazael Panav La'alos Al Yerushalayim. Then Chazael the king of Aram went up and fought with Gas and conquered it, and then Chazael set his face to go up against Yerushalayim. What is Az then, or rather when is Az? So all the commentaries, Rashi, Radak, Abarbanel, Malbim, they all talk about this Az. What is this a code word for? And we get this from Divrei Hayamim. This is after the death of Yehoyada. And this is the ugly other side of the story that we are told. What happened then? What happened when Yehoyada died? Divrei Hayamim tells us that after the death of Yehoyada, Yehoash changed. The dignitaries, Sarei Yehuda, began to speak to Yehoash, persuading him that what? That he must be a deity, a god himself. Otherwise, how could he have lived inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies? This is a place where if you are not a Kohen Gadol and you step foot in it, you die. And you lived there for 6 years. As we see time and time again in history, there is nothing as seductive as exceptionalism, or in this case, self-deification and belief of self-omnipotence. Think about Paro in Mitzrayim, or more recently, cult leaders like David Koresh or Jim Jones. And so he listened to them. And from this place of being convinced of his own exceptionalism, to leaving Hashem and worshiping pagan gods like Baal and Asherah was just one short step. And just like that, he and the tribe of Yehuda abandoned the Beis HaMikdash, abandoned their relationship with Hashem. And again, in Divrei Hayamim, we hear how ultimately this will lead him to a heinous and unforgivable crime. There was a Navi who was a Kohen named Zechariah. He was actually the son of Yehoash's Rebbe and mentor, Yehoyada. Yes, the one who saved his life. His son Zechariah will come and rebuke the nation for not listening to Hashem. And by order of the king, they will murder Zechariah, a Kohen and a Navi, in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. And on that year it had fallen out on a Shabbos. The Medrash tells us how the blood of Zechariah spilled in the Beis HaMikdash did not stop boiling even up to the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So what happens to us when we experience miracles? When Hashem miraculously chooses us, saves us, we actually see both potentialities in the choices of Yehoash. On the one hand, we have his actions here in Malachim Beis. He loved the Beis HaMikdash, had a unique relationship with this building, had truly experienced firsthand the protection and love of Hashem in this house. And we see that he turns this passion into a major fundraising and renovating initiative. On the other hand, it was this same experience reprocessed and redefined as a sign of his deification that brought about his self-destruction. And so back to Malachim Beis in verse 19, Vayikach Yehoash Melech Yehuda es kol hakadashim asher hektishu Yehoshafat v'Yehoram v'Achaziahu avosav malchei Yehuda ve'es kadashav ve'es kol hazahav hanemtza ba'otzros Beis Hashem uveis hamelech vayishlach l'chazael melech haram vayya'al me'al Yerushalayim. Yoash, the king of Yehuda, took all the sacred things that were sanctified by Yehoshaphat, Yehoram, and Achaziahu, his forefathers, the kings of Yehuda, and his own sacred things, and all the gold that was found in the treasuries of the Beis HaMikdash of Hashem and in the king's palace, and he sent it to Hazael, the king of Aram, to get him, and it was successful. He turned back from upon Yerushalayim. The Malbim writes, Avira mechaba mitzvah. A sin extinguishes a mitzvah. His unforgivable crime against Zechariah inside the Beis HaMikdash had extinguished the light of the beautiful mitzvah he did, of beautifying the Beis HaMikdash, restoring the Beis HaMikdash. And it seems so significant in Pasuk Yotes, verse 19, that Yehoash, who had invested so much in the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash, now had to take not only money he and his fathers and grandfathers before had saved up, but gold from the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash itself, just to bribe Hazael to stay away. In verse 21, his own servants rebel against him and assassinate him. Vayakumu avadav, vayikshuru kasher, vayaku es Yehoash, Beis Milo Hayored Sila. And in verse 22, V'yozachar ben Shim'as, V'yozavad ben Shomer, Avadav hikuhu v'yamos, v'yikburu osoam avosav b'ir David, v'yimloch amatya b'no tachtav. To translate, his servants rose up and revolted. They killed Yehoash at Beis Milo, which leads down to Sela. Yozachar, the son of Shemos, and Yehozavad, the son of Shomer, his servants, struck him and he died. They buried him with his forefathers in the city of David, and his son Amatya reigned in his place. Again, in Divrei Hayamim, we find out that Aram had returned and attacked, and that Yehoash himself was badly injured by Arami soldiers who left him wounded, and that was when his own servants finished the job. In Divrei Hayamim, it also tells us the origin of these servants. One was from Ammon and one from Moab, two nations known for their lack of gratitude. Is there a message in this? Yehoash owed his very life to Zechariah's father, Yehoyada, and yet he murdered him. And perhaps this is the key to understanding this very troubling story. Yehoash's survival, his very existence, was miraculous. And he truly had a huge debt of gratitude to Yehoyada, to the Beis HaMikdash, and to Hashem for his very life. Gratitude begets humility and an inspired, purposeful life. But it's much more comfortable to instead listen to the Sarei Yehuda who tell him, you know why you survived? Not because Yehoyada saved you or because Hashem saved you. It's you. It's because you must be so special. You're like a god. You are infallible. And that was what destroyed him. It was when he lost sight of the huge debt of gratitude he owed to the Beis HaMikdash, to Yehoyada, to Hashem, that he lost everything. We Jews are called by the name Yehuda, Yehudim, the meaning of which is gratitude. The greatest key to our survival as a nation is our identity and definition of a people who are grateful. Thank you for studying together. Li'iloi nishmot imahotenu hayikarot. Esther Oppenheimer, aleha hashalom, and Sarah Schenker, aleha hashalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.